Oh, this one. Oh, there it is. I knew that. Great, yeah, great way to start it off. What's up, Hoova? It stuck, right? Did it stick? Before I moved to Brooklyn, I came up with this amazing idea that we would be called Hoova Church. Because Hudson, H-U, and then Valley, V-A, Hoova Church. Right? Yeah. Thank you, wise man over there. Hoova, thank you, yes. So apparently you guys are still working on that. That's fine. Amen. We all got stuff to work on. You know, we still have hoovachurch.com. If you go to hoovachurch.com, it'll take you to the church website. So, you know, everything's in place. Everything's in place for you. You're welcome. That's right. I do want to just say I appreciate Lance sharing because he listened at my midweek 2 years ago. That means a lot to me. I couldn't even remember what I said at midweek 2 years ago, but it was good. Amen. Now, it is so great to be with you guys. I'm happy to be here. You guys make me happy. I have so many friends here from go way, way back. Just way back. So it's just great to be here. We used to live in Nyack. That was one of many places we lived around here, but Nyack was the most recent one. And then about a year and a half ago, we moved to Brooklyn to lead our church in Brooklyn. We are part of a big church. The New York City Church of Christ has 10 geographical regions. And of course, Hudson Valley, or Hoova, as you like to call it, is one of them. We're in all the boroughs and all the suburbs of the New York area. And so my wife and I are now leading the Brooklyn region. So we live right in Brooklyn, a little area called Cobble Hill. If you've ever been there, you can come visit us. I can't stay long because we don't have a lot of space, but you can come say hi. Amen. You can stay long. There's nowhere to sit. So amen. It is great to be here. I'm super happy to be here. You know, as Christians, we believe that we need to be people who live in the light, right? God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. That's 1 John 1, verse 5. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness. That's 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. That's John 8, verse 12. And then it says in 1 John 1, 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. And so as Christians, we believe that we need to live lives of integrity. We need to live lives of openness. We need to live lives of confession, lives of truth, lives of honesty, right? That's what living in the light means. It's exactly what it sounds like. It means you turn on the lights, spiritually speaking. Jesus teaches that, and that's how we got to live as Christians. But today I want to teach you to have some secrets. Yeah. Like, what? Today we're going to look at the words of Jesus, and we're going to see that some areas of our lives need to be private. Some areas of our lives need to be known only by God. So that's what we're going to read about today. We're going to give you some tips on how to build a secret life. Let's read this together. This is in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, Jesus said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debters. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Did you catch it? Did you catch? Four times, Jesus uses the word secret to describe certain aspects of our life. So today, what I want to talk about, today I want to give you some tips, some pointers, maybe commands from God on how to build your secret life. Tip number one, it's not if, but when. You want to build a secret life? You got to understand, it's not if, but when. So this is not as obvious of a point. Maybe you caught it. Maybe you caught it when you read it. But Jesus is talking about three specific areas here of Christianity. Three specific things. He's talking about giving. He's talking about praying. And he's talking about fasting, right? And each time he teaches on this, he uses the word when and not if, right? He says when you give, not if you're going to give, here's what you should do. He says when you give, here's how you should do it. When you pray, here's how it should be done. When you fast. And so one of the first things we got to realize in building our secret lives, it's not if, it's when. Jesus expects us to be giving, praying, fasting people. That's his expectation. So you can do some studies on your own and dig a little deeper into these three topics to figure out more what the Bible talks about praying or fasting or giving. But generally speaking, when you talk about praying and fasting and giving, you're talking about seeing the heart of God. The heart of God is seen in these things. Giving, for example. Giving is a heart all about being generous. It's all about being selfless. It's all about having concern and kindness and service for other people, whether it's your time, whether it's your money, whether it's your food, whether it's your expertise, whether it's your wisdom, whether it's your labor, whether it's your love. Whatever it is, when we give, we are taking the very heart of God because God is a giver. You know what John 3:16 says, right? We can all quote John 3. God loved the world that he did what? Gave. He gave. God gives. So when you and I give, we're taking the very heart of God. We're being givers. It's not, Jesus isn't saying if you give, he's saying when you give. You know, giving can be hard. And it doesn't even have to be the quantity or the amount that you give. Sometimes giving, and real giving, is giving that comes from the heart, that really strikes you in the heart. I was in Brooklyn one day walking, and I had to be somewhere. I forgot even what I had to do, but I was hungry. And in my pocket, I had $3, three $1 bills, right? And I saw down the street a 99-cent pizza store. And I was like, perfect. Just so you know, 99-cent pizza is terrible, right? You get what you pay for. It is. No, it is. It is. Let me show you. You can come to Brooklyn. I'll show you some good pizza, all right? But it was food, and that's all I cared about, and it fit my budget perfectly. So I went in. I thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to get two slices of pizza and a bottle of water. And so I walk into this store, this pizza place, and I'm waiting in line. And as I'm waiting, a homeless man walks in and walks right up to me and says, will you buy me a slice of pizza? And so I was like, oh. And I was like, so at first I just tried to pretend I didn't know he was talking to me. I'm like, but he was very persistent, right? He's like, will you buy me a piece of pizza? And I was like, because I knew he was talking to me, but I only had $3, and that was two slices of pizza and one bottle of water. I had a plan. And he just stared at me. I mean, like, right there, like, will you buy me a slice of pizza? And I was like, have you been talking to me? Me? Just stalling until I could figure out how to get out of this. But finally, I thought of this. I thought of Jesus. And I thought, man, this is, if I'm not going to be a Christian now, when will I be a Christian, right? On the streets of Brooklyn, when am I going to be a Christian? A guy's looking at me, asking for something. So I went up to the table. I said, hey, two slices of pizza, one for him and one for me, and I'll take a bottle of water. But it was a challenge. And it wasn't the quantity of my giving. It was that the giving hit me in the heart, right in the stomach heart, you know, the heart, the stomach part of my heart. But that's giving. So when we're talking about giving, we're not just talking about you just got to give more than anybody else giving. You just got to give from your heart. If it's not coming from your heart, if it's not something that's important to you or means something to you, then it's not giving the way Jesus gave. It's not giving the way God gave. It's not if, but it's when. God wants us to be givers. He talks about praying. You know, praying shows the heart of God as well. Praying shows a heart of humility. Praying shows a heart of honesty, a heart of meekness, a heart of trust, a heart of faith. You know, the person who works hard but prays little is just arrogant. We've got to be people who are humble, because that's what prayer is. Prayer, just in and of itself, shows an incredible amount of humility to come before God and to be open. Jesus expected this. You know, I have at home a list of things that I pray about. Mark chapter 11, Jesus says that, you know, if you say to this mountain, move, and you believe in your heart, it will be moved. And so I've made a list at home of things in my life that feel like mountains to me. To me, these things are mountains. And I pray through these things regularly, because I believe that we have to be people who pray. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you want to follow me, it's not if you pray, but it's when you pray. This is what prayer looks like. And you know what? This prayer list that I have, sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. But that's not the point. I would prefer him say yes, but that's not the point. The point is not you praying only if God gives you a favorable answer. The point is we just pray and then let God be God. Giving, praying, fasting. Fasting shows a heart of God, doesn't it? I mean, fasting shows a heart of dependence, a heart of sacrifice. It reminds us of our humanity. That's what fasting does. It shows us where our power stops and where God's omnipotent power begins. It reminds us of how great God is. It's a little bit of death that yields a harvest of life. Fasting of these three is probably my least favorite one, obviously from the pizza example you saw earlier. And you know, when the Bible talks about fasting, generally it speaks about fasting from food. I know people fast from other things other than food. And so what it is you're fasting from isn't as important as that we are fasting. Again, because it's not if you fast. Jesus is saying when you fast, here's how you should do it. But there's something, and I still don't totally understand this, there's something amazing and powerful about fasting. There's something that when you fast, when you give up something for a period of time for God, there's some extra power that you access. Just, I mean, I know it's God, but I don't know how it works, but it works. There's just something there about God and being connected to God and being dependent on God that you find when you fast. Again, Jesus did all these things. So my question for us today is, how about you? Are you doing these things? Are these part of your Christian walk? Are you a person that gives to the needy? Are you a person that prays? Are you a person that fasts? Again, you want to build this secret life that Jesus is calling us to have? We got to remember that it's not if you do these things, it's when you do these things. It's tip number one. Second tip, it's not habit, but it's heart. So it's not if, but it's when, and it's not habit, but it's heart. You know, in this passage we just read, Jesus gives us some great practical direction, especially when it talks about prayer, right? Let me read this to you again, back in verse 7. He gives some really practical advice. In verse 7, he says, "When you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you should pray." And he goes on and he gives an example of a way that we can pray. And then he says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And so what Jesus is teaching us specifically when he's talking about prayer and what he's teaching us about having this secret life is it's not about your habits, it's about your hearts. You know, Jesus says some very interesting things about praying. He preaches against babbling, and he teaches, and he's preaching for forgiveness. He's less interested, in other words, in the words in your mouth when you're praying than the forgiveness in your heart. That's what he's more interested in. But Phil, you don't know me. I go to church all the time. That's great, but are you bitter? What do you think Jesus would be more interested in? Your spiritual activities or the condition, the spiritual condition of your heart? It's not about our habit. It's about our heart. God wants our heart. It's easy in our church, especially, to just get fired up about stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing people here. It is. Even Roland, you know, doing the announcements, you know, it's easy just to get just fired up, you know, about whatever's going on. But if we're not careful, yeah, we can miss the heart. We can forget the heart behind why are we doing this? We had a ministry staff meeting for the whole New York City Church of Christ a couple weeks ago. We had all the ministry and administrative staff together in New Jersey. And we do this usually about two times a month. We get together, we talk about the church and study the Bible and pray and just get some direction for where we're going. It's about 70 people, 80 people, I don't know, a large group of people. And at the beginning of this particular meeting a couple weeks ago, our brother Steve Kennard got up and he was sharing some things with the group. And it was awesome. And he was talking about a particular topic. And he was really challenging the group. Instead of just, you know, if you have questions about this topic, don't just come and say, "Hey, Steve, tell me the answer." He's challenging the staff. He's like, "You need to study it out on your own. You need to open up the scriptures. You need to figure out what you think the Bible says." I mean, really amazing stuff. I was sitting there going, "Yeah, come on, Steve. Preach it, bro. And he was like, you need to have convictions. And he was telling the staff that. The only problem with is I had zoned out for like 2 seconds and I didn't hear what the topic was. I don't know what he was talking about, but I was fired up. I was like, yeah, come on. Come on, Steve. That's right. And it wasn't until after the meeting was over, I was like, dude, that was awesome. What were you talking about? And he was like, if you would just listen. And I'm like, most of it I heard. It was awesome. But that's what we do sometimes, right? We get people up here that they're talking and they're sharing and they're preaching and or we're laughing, we're hugging, we have a great time, and we should. That's what church should be like. Church shouldn't be boring. Church shouldn't be lame. Church shouldn't be something you have to endure. It should be something that we love, and that is great, and that is awesome. But if we forget why, then we've missed it. If we're just sitting there, yeah, I'm so fired up. What are we talking about? I have no idea. God doesn't just want your habits. He wants your heart. That's Jesus' point here. That's what he's trying to say here. Listen, the world doesn't need any more religious people. There's plenty. What the world needs is more righteous people. People who do what they do because they know why they do it. It doesn't need more people who claim to be Christians, but it needs more people who are Christians. It doesn't need more people who talk the talk, but people who actually walk the walk. So the question we have to ask ourselves today is this: are you for real? Are you for real? Is this legit? Or are you just like, yeah, woo! Yeah, what are we talking about? Yeah. Are you for real? Only you know. That's what's got to happen in your private life. That's what's got to go on inside. Or is this just kind of a show for you? You just come, you know when to hug, you know when to high five, you know when to say hey, and then you just kind of leave and do your own thing. But it's not really who you are. What would Jesus want? Jesus doesn't want your habits. He wants your heart. That's what he's teaching here. Secrets to building your private life. It's not if, it's when. It's not habit, but heart. And finally, Jesus says, it's not people, it's God. You know, this is actually probably the most obvious point that Jesus is making. Look back in verse 1. He just says it. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. He is reminding us plainly to think about why we do what we do. Is it for people or is it for God? Somebody said one time, and this has just stuck with me, they said, we are working for an audience of one. And that audience of one is God. Jesus is not teaching that you can't share good news. He's not saying that you have victories in your life, like Lance was sharing earlier. He's not saying you can't stand up and share the good things going on. Paul does that throughout the epistles. Paul shares great things going on in people's lives. And Jesus is not teaching us that the only biblical place to pray is your closet, because the Bible is full of examples of people praying not in closets, right? But what he is saying is you got to remember why you do what you do. Are you doing it to please people, or are you doing this to ultimately please God? That's what Jesus is teaching. You want to build your secret life? You got to make sure that the reason you do the things you do ultimately is for God. You know, pleasing people has been a struggle of mine since I was a kid. It's funny, I remember very vividly sitting in church one time and the collection plate was going by, right? And I had a dollar and I reached into my pocket and I pulled out this dollar. And as the plate was coming, I took the time to kind of open up the dollar. I stretched the dollar out. I, you know, unfolded all the little corners and, you know, just like as big as I could possibly make that dollar. And then when the plate came by, I took it, you know, and I laid it right on top, you know, just right on top, right on top. And then the plate went by. I was like, that's pretty awesome, right? And my dad, who was sitting right next to me, saw this. And ironically, my dad opened the Bible and showed me this verse right here. He showed me specifically this verse here where it says in verse 2, I tell you the truth. Oh, no, not verse 2. Verse 3, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And I was a kid. I had no idea what that meant. I'm like, my left hand and my right. I'm like, I have no, like, what does that mean? You know, I'm like, I don't get it. And he's like, you know, he's just like, don't let people know what you're doing. You need to give for God and not for people. Because he saw me do that. And it's crazy. It was, I mean, even now, I struggle with it, right? I give to the church, but I give online. All my money, all my giving, it's automatic. I don't have to do anything. So every time the plate goes by, I'm like, I just want to say, hey, guys, I give, you know. I just want you guys to know. Like, I feel very conscious of that. And I'm a leader in the church, so people are really like, well, why does Phil not? I'm sure he takes. Is he not giving? You know? And so I don't know. I mean, I carry this with me. But I've brought this into the church in so many ways, just in my own heart. Man, there's been times in my life when I've looked for value in my titles or looked for value in my association with people with titles. You know, you get around a leader and you're like hugging them. You're like, I hope that brother's watching. He's talking to me, right? You know, hey, what's up, bro? And you're like, you're seeing this, right? We're talking. I'm important, right? And I've done that before. I've brought, and honestly, I mean, seriously, that has led to some of the worst sins I've committed in my life because of my people pleasing and wanting people to like me more than God. Now, let me say on the other side, though, Jesus is not teaching you need to be difficult then. Wow, you know what? I'll show them. I'll be the most, I don't even want to talk to the leaders. You know, I'm going to be the most obstinate, difficult person. Oh, a leader's coming. Yeah, I serve God, bro. And you know, that is not, Jesus isn't going to the other side. I mean, the Bible has teachings about things like being divisive or being dissentious or disunity. Obviously, these things are wrong. But what Jesus is teaching, you're going to be in the world, but you're not going to be of the world. You're going to be around people, and you're going to love people, and you're going to lead people, and you're going to follow people, but you're not going to do it for people. You got to be mature enough to do those things, but still do them for God. That's what Jesus is teaching, and that starts in your private life. That starts in your heart where nobody sees it at all. Honestly, as a man, as a leader, but even as a man, I've just grown so much in what I appreciate in people now. Like, there was a time when I appreciated, you know, volume and charisma and pushiness and all sorts of things that I thought, well, were biblical things. And I don't know, maybe they are, maybe they're not. But honestly, what I value now is humility. I value in me, but I value in others. When someone comes to me just honest and just struggling and just confessing and just genuine, not perfect, but broken and meek and, you know, I mean, I when I see that, that's, my heart goes out to that person. I've learned that that's valuable, and that's powerful, and that's what I want to be like. You know, I want to be confident in my relationship with God enough that I can be broken in front of people, and it's okay, and it's okay. You know, Jesus talks here specifically about working for your heavenly reward, right? And I, you know, I've talked to people in the past, and I've, you know, I know some people struggle with that, this idea of being rewarded. And I don't know if it's your inner Catholic, you know, it's like, nah, I don't want anything. I'm just doing it. Just serve God. That's all we do. I mean, Jesus assumes in this passage you want a reward. He assumes you want it. In fact, he says it 7 times. You should want a reward from God. His point isn't wanting a reward. His point is, from whom do you want the reward? You want it from man or you want it from God? So you should absolutely want a reward. You should look forward to the reward you're going to get from God. You absolutely should. Why are you doing this? Are you just trying to do God a favor? You know, like, I'm just trying to help you out, God. No, he doesn't need your favors. You should do it so you can get rewarded. But you should want to get rewarded from God. Listen to Paul talking about this. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, he says, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." You should want a reward. Paul's like, listen, I'm looking forward to my reward from God. I want my reward. That's why I'm doing this, so I can get something. It's okay to want to get something out of this. It's just, what do you want to get out of it? Something from man? Because that's temporary. Or something from God. Hebrews 11:6 just says it really plainly. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and what else must you believe? That he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You want to please God? You got to believe that you're going to get rewarded for this. That there's a benefit for you in this. It is not selfish to want to be rewarded by God. In fact, you can't please God unless you believe he exists and that he rewards people who earnestly seek him. The question is, where do you want your reward? Do you want it from man, or do you want it from God? These are some of the secrets of building a secret life. Jesus teaches us that it's not if, but it's when. In other words, our life should be characterized by generosity and humility and dependence. Jesus is teaching that it's not habit, but it's heart. In other words, we should not let our religion get in the way. Instead, we should be genuine, true followers of the teachings of Christ. And Jesus is teaching it's not about people, but it's about God. Seeking temporary fulfillment is empty. God gives lasting rewards. Do you have a secret life? You should. Matthew chapter 6. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Let's build a secret life. Thank you. Amen.